Michael here with the Film Ninjas Podcast. So if you listen already, you can tell that this breaks from the norm of one of our regular podcasts. And what that means is that Justin and I have been reevaluating what we want to do with Film Ninjas exactly. We both love movies. We both love to talk about them. But frankly, we're scrubs, infants, newborns when it comes to this podcast business. And that's something that, you know, we're trying to overcome. The conversation that Justin and I had that brought Film Ninjas to life was rather broad and starry-eyed. We had a lot of ideas for movies. Came up with a whole list over lunch and just said, you know, let's work these movies out. Let's see how we do. But we really didn't know where to go. And it wasn't until that I found like this crazy great deal on some web hosting, that we got the ball rolling with that. And it was inexpensive, and since it was, we felt like it offered us to be able to take a gamble on this without so much invested into it that, you know, even if this was a complete failure, the web hosting was good for a year. If we recorded a year's worth of podcasts, even if nothing ever happened with this, you know, no one ever started listening, it didn't take off, didn't do anything, this would have been a great experience for us, just to get some other things under our belt. And these last few podcasts, they've been a blast to record. And I love doing this for you guys. But I felt like this could be so much better. And by that, I mean that we decided it'd probably be best to break up the normal format of our movie commentaries and open it up, break the doors open, and talk about movies of all shapes and sizes. Because when we do a commentary podcast on one single movie, I think it was really apparent to me when we did the Fast and Furious one. We had so much to talk about for the whole franchise, and yet we had to focus on the very first one. And, you know, we couldn't get ahead of ourselves, couldn't, you know, talk about during the whole podcast just about Fast and Furious 7 or stuff like that. And it felt like, you know, wow, you know, we could do a whole bunch of podcasts on these movies, but we'd still be stuck. We'd never be able to put a podcast talking about the whole franchise as a whole. We'd always have to, you know, be watching the movie, of course, talking about what's going on in this movie and not focusing so much on what happens in the next movie because it's not, we're not watching that one yet. And because of that, I think we wanted to do more than just a handful of ideas and stories. Because I think it would just be more interesting, for one. Another reason we felt was just the time invested in these podcasts. It takes a lot for us, because we have to watch the movie beforehand. Then we have to come together and watch the movie again. And then we have to talk about it. And in the meantime, of course, we're taking notes, doing some insightful things, watching for out for different things. And we never really get to sit down and enjoy the movie too much. And I feel like that's because we had to keep watching movie after movie. You know, I felt, especially after 6 or 7 movies, I was getting a little burnt out of just watching movie after movie and just talking about it. And I know for you guys, for the listeners, it's hard to sit down and find time to sit, watch a movie on your own, let alone then you, if you're interested in us, you have to sit down, watch the movie, turn it all the way down. If you've never seen it before, you probably have to watch it at least once before so that our commentary doesn't get in the way. And then, of course, we're blabbering through the whole thing. I can understand how that could be annoying for some people. Or at the very least, just too much of a hurdle to jump over and say, you know, your podcast sounds cool, but I just can't sit down and watch, you know, an hour and a half worth of a movie and I don't have time. You know, I'm busy. I'm busy myself. So for this new format, I just wanted to keep evolving and growing and making this better. We figured we bit off more than we can chew trying to do a two-hour podcast, and I figure for you listeners, something quite a bit smaller would be a lot easier to handle. So we're looking to do around half an hour to 45 minutes, just to keep it small, keep it short, keep it focused on just a few topics, and I think it's going to make it better. Because we're like newborns with this, we figured as a newborn, you can't just start eating steak right away. You got to start with the baby food. So we're going to break it down to smaller chunks, little morsels, something you can tune into, listen out, listen and chill for about a half hour, and just enjoy some thoughts on films, some upcoming movies. Doesn't mean we'll stop doing the commentary tracks. Every now and then, you know, we'll find some time to watch a movie that we figure you guys have been asking for. And we're definitely going to keep doing that because we love to talk about the movies. And that's when our commentary tracks are going to be. They're going to be something, a special treat every now and then. Again, we thank you, our loyal listeners, for listening to us this whole time. We just want this to be a better podcast for you, and hopefully a better experience for us too, because, you know, we want to continue to enjoy what we do. And to be honest, after all those podcasts, I was feeling a little burnt out. And I don't want to put out crappy material for you guys. I want to put my heart and soul into this podcast. That's what I want to do. So now that I've covered, you know, the basic reasons of why we're doing this, let me tell you just a little bit, briefly, about what the future podcasts are going to be like. First off, just like today, we're starting off with some general news. At the beginning of each podcast, I'm going to update you on everything you need to know about Film Ninjas, upcoming shows, special guests that we might have coming in, contests for you guys to enter and get some cool stuff. We're going to have some t-shirts, some other little merchandise that you can grab, and any other pertinent news that you guys need to know. Then, as I will get to in a moment, we'll have our main topic, which will vary from a variety of things. Sometimes we'll do an expose on some upcoming movies. I know we're coming up. We're going to have a show completely about the comic movies that are coming out this summer. I know we're going to be talking about Captain America, The Winter Soldier. We're going to be talking about Amazing Spider-Man 2. I can't wait for that one. And then, of course, Guardians of the Galaxy. We're going to do a show dedicated just to those three movies, and just talking about those in brief. You know, if it warrants it, we might extend it out to another show. Because I know that's a lot of material to cover. But yeah, do something about comic books. I know next week we're doing another trio of movies that are coming out sometime in the spring. And so we'll have shows like that where we talk about just a variety of movies, maybe one movie in particular if it's a really big one. And some other times we'll do a top 10 countdown of various movie tropes or cliches, Or things that you guys just want to know about who we think, for instance, are like, say, the top 10 movie villains of all time. I know that'd be a cool list to do. You know, coolest movie weapons ever seen in a film. Best top 10 westerns of all time. We want your guys' opinion on those, too. So that'd be something we want to get you involved in on a countdown. Or, like today, we're going to be talking about some of my favorite films. We're going to do kind of a personal piece on me, get a little bit of my backstory, what movies I like, what I look for in a good movie, things that I grew up watching. And as we go forward, I'm sure there's going to be other types of shows that we'll come up with. And then right after the main topic, Justin and I will do a quick hashing out of some newly released DVDs, some upcoming movies that, you know, we never got around to talking about, on our show, and just some other loose ends that, you know, we'll talk about, you know, maybe just whatever else is on our mind that day, who knows. And that about covers what most shows will be like. For now, we get to the meat and potatoes of today's show, my all-time favorite movies. So I brought Justin in here.
Hey.
Just to help me talk about these movies, just because I figure, you know, if you just keep hearing me talk and I have nothing to go off with, It's just going to sound boring.
And my voice is going to go up too.
What?
I stop listening when you start talking.
I don't even know that you're here sometimes. I just keep talking over you.
I noticed.
So anyway, first off, a little background info on me. Culturally, I feel
Japanese.
Yes, but more than that, I feel very eclectic. The places I've lived in and grown up.
Japan.
No. They've been very diverse, each with their own subcultures and influences.
California.
Yeah, I'm from California. I like to think of myself as from Santa Barbara, California. But I was born and grew up in a town just outside of Los Angeles called Hawthorne. Some of you might know it as the birthplace of the Beach Boys.
Or Hawthorne Heights.
Yeah, actually, they're a pretty good band, too. But that's
That's like going back to middle school, dude.
Junior high. Some of my earliest memories of watching movies, though, outside of, I guess, the definitive Disney kind of obligatory, you know, kiddie stuff.
Words, dude.
Well, I'm just saying, I think every kid has watched Disney movies pretty much.
And they like it. That's what I was
And they
saying.
Love it. And I love Disney movies, too. But there I think, I don't know. I mean, you remember when you get to the point where you
get
watch something
it?
Besides a Disney movie and you're like, wow, there's like really different, good movies, you know?
I don't know. I get tired of, the love story every single time. It's the same.
Yeah.
Always.
Well, that's kind of like every movie, though. They have to do the romantic plot.
Well, they always do this thing where, they think they're being different. They're like, Disney, we're different. The girl's going to be spunky and sassy.
Right.
And then every single princess is spunky and sassy and goes out of the norm and finds the prince or whatever. And it's, supposed to be abnormal, but it's totally normal because every single princess movie that they've made.
I know. I do have to say Frozen is very different.
Frozen's really good.
It's good.
I'm so happy.
If you haven't seen it, go ahead and watch Frozen.
Spoiler, I'm so happy that they didn't do the whole
let's just say it's a different spin on true love.
Thank you.
And leave it at that.
Hey guys, so I paused the podcast. I'm about to spoil the end of the movie Frozen. So if you haven't seen Frozen yet, you're definitely going to want to skip ahead to 1304 so I don't ruin another movie for you. So jump ahead, enjoy the rest of the podcast.
It's got to be a man and a woman, and they got to be getting married. That's true love. It was like true love between the sisters.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. I always thought that was fantastic. I was so irritated because I was like, this is just another Disney movie. Well, and even though it was really good through all of the movie, at the end of it, I'm like, okay, so this is the part where it becomes really, really Disney. And then the guy, and then she runs, protects her sister, bam, they cry, whatever. And then it's awesome because she turns her back. And I was so happy they did it. You have no idea.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, this is totally different. This is awesome. Anyway.
That's what we do. One of my first memories of movies, though, I think, outside of the Disney stuff, still love the Disney stuff, though. I think I remember watching Terminator 2. You ever seen that movie?
Oh, man, it's been a long time, but yes.
Oh, man, the liquid metal guy. I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, it was really scary because I remember when I watched it, and I was probably at least 3 or 4 years old. I never saw it in the theaters, thank God, but it scared the living daylights out of me.
You know what really scared me was I went to Universal Studios as a kid, and I went to Backdraft. I saw their
live
thing.
Show?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I went up to the cage, and the fire went off, and it was so hot, and I was so young. I don't think I understood.
See, what
was going
you got to do? You got to go on Jurassic Park: The Ride, get soaked, and then go into Backdraft.
Just go do a little spin so you can dry off.
Yes. Or keep going back and forth like, oh, dude, too hot. Oh, Jurassic Park, yes, I'm cold. I'm too cold. I'm wet.
I'm way too cold.
Backdraft, dry off.
You, eventually get smart enough where you only go through half of it and you run out.
And then you get smart and realize that the air dry cycle is actually the E.T. ride.
That's the crappy bathroom air thing, so. Just go, come on, E.T.
Yes.
You can do better than this.
Now you're flying. The wind. Love Terminator 2. Love Backdraft, actually, is a cool movie, too. Go watch those if you haven't.
I don't think I actually ever saw Backdraft. I just got scared at
Universal
Studios.
That movie, I think, if we're going to go on a little tangent here, I'll talk about Backdraft a little bit. Backdraft was crazy cool. It was directed by Ron Howard, The Grinch, Beautiful Mind, great director. But that was one of the first movies where they had this, crazy – I don't think they used CGI – and it was crazy how they made the fire look completely alive.
Because it was fire. It was like real fire.
It was real fire, but
I got to look up, like real fire. They set stuff on fire.
Well, no, what I'm saying is like they made the fire like dance. It made it look like the fire was almost like an animatronic character, like in Jurassic Park. It looked very realistic, but it looked somewhat, it had like a human tendency to it. Like you could tell the fire was evil. You got to watch it to understand how it is. Look it up on Wikipedia or something like that about how they did the fire technology, because it was different and very innovative at the time. But yeah, that was a cool scene, especially when the backdraft, if you don't know what a backdraft is, that's when the oxygen inside of a room goes completely out, but it's still like, I forget, like over 400, 700 degrees inside of a room. And when someone opens the door and they release oxygen back into a room, it's basically like an explosive force that comes out of the room, a backdraft. And basically it's like a vacuum inside and it sucks you into the fire and dude, you're dead.
You die.
Like you're just dead.
That's awesome.
Very cool movie.
Anyway.
But back to some of my favorite movies. I remember watching Forrest Gump as a kid. Awesome you remember movie. Watching that?
Yeah, I love it. I see it every time I go to Bubba Gump's, dude.
Dude, I know. Love, I love Bubba
Gump's. I'm sitting there talking to my family and my friends, whatever, and I find myself spacing out, staring at the TV. Can't hear it. Can't hear the movie at all.
But you know what?
But I know what's going on. I'm just staring at the TV for like an hour. I'm like, oh my God, there's a conversation going on. I should probably get in on this.
I know.
Whoops.
Whoopsie.
Oh man, that was my Chipotle.
Oh. Watch out for that Chipotle. But I think the one movie that probably really brings me back to my childhood more than anything, and it's not a Disney movie, and you're going to have to listen to me out about why, is Pulp Fiction.
Hear me out.
Hear me out.
Listen to me out. You Wait. Better listen to me out.
You better. You better. If you're listening
or out. Or I'll backdraft you.
Yes. With my T-1000.
If we're speaking nonsense. I've never seen Pulp Fiction, so...
You haven't?
No, I haven't seen
it. Oh, my gosh.
I hear all so much about it. I heard about the guy. Did you hear about the guy that stopped the robbery by quoting Pulp Fiction?
No, I have not. What?
Dude, the guys came in. I'm not 100% on this story. I just kind of seen it on Reddit a lot, and because they keep reposting it. But these guys came in, and they held up, like, a restaurant, I think, with guns and stuff, like robbers do.
Yeah.
And then they asked for his wallet. He started quoting Pulp Fiction, and it just... Oh, my gosh. And it scared them, and they left. And he said something like, you know, I never thought my excessive knowledge of Pulp Fiction would finally come in a real life situation, like come in handy. So I have no idea. That might even be a total lie or something, but it was probably it's so funny that I heard
Dude,
that.
Dude, not at least I got that in my pocket. I can stop a robbery with my knowledge of Pulp Fiction.
hopefully. I wouldn't actively try.
I've seen the movie like a million times. I can imagine what quotes he was probably using. There's this one great scene in the film. Actually, I'll get to that in a second. If you haven't seen Pulp Fiction, unfortunately, like my friend Justin here,
to spoil the movie for me.
I'm not going to spoil anything. I want you to see it as a Pulp Fiction virgin. Okay. but the writer and director, Quentin Tarantino, hopefully you've at least heard of him by now. I mean, you've heard of him, right?
Yeah, he did that one movie, right? With the gold guy in the car. The Asian gang?
No, dude, that was... What are you talking about, Gran Torino?
Gran Torino, yeah, that one. That's a good movie.
No, dude, that's Clint Eastwood.
That's like the same thing.
Not even.
They're, like, they're both like old, right? The same guy.
No. No, you've heard of Quentin Tarantino, right?
Yeah, I've heard of Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, Reservoir
which
Dogs.
Which one is he actually... Okay.
Pulp Fiction, Reservoir Dogs, Jackie Brown, Django Unchained, Death Proof, Kill Bill, Volume 1 and 2.
Did you like Death Proof? That was a really weird movie.
It was weird, but...
I didn't know what I was getting into. Like, they were like, DVD, poster. I'm like, I'll take a poster. Sweet, Death Proof. And then me and my dad watch it, and I was so, like, taken back the whole time. I just had no idea what I was watching. I'd never, like, I didn't see any previews on it. I had no idea what it was about. I saw a car, and I saw Death Proof. I don't know. I thought it was, like, Stunt Driver or something, and it totally just, like,
To me, it was just, like, it's the whole theme of the Grindhouse stuff. It was just, like, way over the top, crazy B-movie, and... totally ridiculous, like even more so than some of his other stuff. But he's a great director, great writer. Quentin Tarantino, he grew up in the same area that I did. It's
like
locally
so
called.
So many actors and directors have grown up in California.
No, not just California. You've grown up in California too.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
I grew up in the South Bay, which is where Quentin Tarantino's from.
I grew up in El Dorado Hills where Papa Roach, I can't remember his name, lead singer Papa Roach lives there. now. I don't know if he grew up there. I know he lives there.
Oh, that guy.
That guy. Yeah. I can't remember his name for the life of me. Never can. I'm always like, want to tell people about it. I'm like, oh yeah, that one guy from that band, he lives in an area near me, kind of. I've seen him once, and they're not impressed at all. So,
well, to me, Quentin Tarantino is different because in the South Bay, I mean, you don't hear too many, they talk about like, oh, I'm from LA. Quentin Tarantino and I are not from LA. It's a neighborhood just outside of LA. It's called the South Bay. Includes places like Inglewood, Lawndale, Hawthorne, Torrance, Manhattan Beach, Redondo Beach. You might have heard of those places.
Manhattan Beach, I've heard of that.
Yeah, play volleyball there out there all the time.
Oh, I love volleyball. Best sport ever.
Includes a lot of other cities, towns just southwest of Los Angeles. Very urban, yet it used to be an old farm community, places like that. He and I both grew up there, and I think for his very earliest films, at least his first three, Pulp Fiction through Reservoir Dogs and Jackie Brown, it was almost kind of like a bit of a love letter to that part of Los Angeles area. Because he grew up there, loved the town, loved the people in there and everything like that. One of the most pivotal moments in Pulp Fiction takes place inside of a diner where somatically the film begins and ends. If you've never seen Pulp Fiction, and this is not a big spoiler, one of the things is that it's not, the film is not in chronological order. Stuff at the beginning of the film.
It's like Star Wars?
No.
They Star Wars to the movie?
No, not like that. Not at all.
Is that a thing?
Like in in one single movie, in Pulp Fiction, as you watch Pulp Fiction from beginning to end, the first little miniature story that they do happens like chronologically in the middle of the whole thing.
So it's not like one of those where they start at the end and then bring you back why it happened. It's like...
It's not like... They're not flashing back to things. It's just that the stories...
They're going back in time.
The stories are happening out of order, basically.
That's why. That's weird. Is it supposed to be creative or whatever?
It is creative, and the way that it does it too is that if you watched the whole story in order, things might make a little bit more sense, but there's a certain amount of dramatic flair to having them out of order, because of where it sets up the next story that comes after it, because then you feel for characters who you've seen. Things that are going to happen to them in the future.
Well, that makes more sense.
It makes sense like that.
Okay, yeah.
And also things too, like the very last scene that happens in the diner too. That's a scene where you can end the movie. If you ended the movie on technically the scene that ends the movie in chronological order, it's a total bummer. So
this movie sucks if you watch it right.
Yeah, if you watch it in order, it kind of leaves you on a really big down note in chronological order. But the way that it's set up, it's brilliant.
Do people, like, put out movies of Pulp Fiction, like, in chronological order? They're like, Pulp Fiction, normal, and Pulp Fiction, chronological.
They've probably done stuff like that on YouTube, at least.
Is chronological even the right word?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because they're scenes.
They're scenes, but...
Scenological.
There's a very specific order to them that, you know, once you watch the whole movie, you can understand, okay...
One, two, three, four, five.
Like, people die, for instance, and obviously... They show up in the next scene, so the scene that happened before that must have happened after this next scene because they're dead by that point.
Weird. Okay. I'm totally
it's a little complicated. But I mean, Pulp Fiction and actually Reservoir Dogs before that started this whole thing, and they talk about, like, dude, you got to Tarantino that thing. You got to go back and then go back to the beginning, and then you start from the middle.
Star Wars.
I mean, like... They make a big whole joke of it, I think, in Have You Seen the Other Guys?
Yes,
with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, I probably didn't catch it, though, because I've never seen Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, no, David Urshan, the big, like, financial guy who they're trying to arrest and get rid of.
Right.
He's talking about, like, well, to tell you the whole story, I should start from the very end and then go back to the beginning.
Oh, okay,
and then start in the middle.
Yeah.
And then, dude, just tell us the story. Like, you're making it too complicated.
Go back to the middle for a minute and then go back to the beginning.
It's gotten cliched now, but back when Pulp Fiction did it, it was very fresh. No one really had ever done that before. At least on a big scale that people recognized it. I think some other movies in the past had done it before, but it was something that, you know, just like, whatever.
Bravo, Quentin.
Huh?
Bravo.
Anyway, in Pulp Fiction, the very first scene and the last scene happens in a diner. that I grew up in. It was called the Hawthorne Grill. Sadly, it's not there anymore. And that's one of the reasons why I love Pulp Fiction so much.
I thought you were going to say that's one of the reasons you left. You're like, that's one of the reasons I left Santa Barbara. They got rid of that grill. Now I'm in North California.
Like, no. It wasn't like the greatest dine in the world. It didn't have like amazing pancakes. But it's a place where I grew up, you know, part of my childhood. And since it's no longer there, I can only revisit that place by watching Pulp Fiction. So it's kind of dear to, close to my heart. I feel like, you know, going back home when I watch that movie.
Do you like to see it over your shoulder? You're like, I've been there. I've been that. Okay, it's gone.
But I know. I've done that to some people sometimes. It, like, dude, check that out. My initials are carved on that seat. No, they're not. But I've been there. Like,
I lied, and it's gone. But still,
yeah,
you'll never know.
That's just how I feel whenever I watch that film. I just feel like I'm home. And Pulp Fiction was shot all over the South Bay, and many characters reference parts of the area themselves. I know, like, I think John Travolta's character and Samuel L. Jackson's character, they talk about they live in Redondo Beach in Inglewood. So that just make notes of that. Tarantino just loves that place. His early work really reflects that. And though some people still criticize this film because it has lots of violence and lots of profanity. My mother really doesn't like this movie.
That probably makes sense.
Yeah. She doesn't like a lot of movies.
It's like when you're watching a movie with your mom and those weird sexual scenes come on, you just kind of looked the other way for a minute.
Usually, I've usually seen a lot of movies before my mom has, and so when I watch it with her and I know a sex scene is coming up, I walk out of the room, go to the kitchen.
Well, now that I'm older, it's no problem, but when I was younger, I was like 16, 15, it was so weird because, like, I would just kind of not even have my...
You're like not watching the movie. You're
like, checking my phone. Hey, did somebody do the dishes? I'm not going to do the dishes. and then, like, I'm just trying to not make eye contact with, like, any part of them. I'm like, oh, I can see your feet, kind of. No, okay, I'm just going to close my left eye. Like, I'd always sit on the right side.
So. Is this light bulb work?
Like, I mean, this lampshade is really bothering me. No, but seriously, it's so weird.
Hey, does anybody want some ice cream? I'm going to, you know.
I'm not getting ice cream anymore. Okay, I'm going to sit down.
Get it yourself. This is the good part. Get it yourself. This is the good part. Yeah, some people just don't like that movie because of those scenes of violence and the profanity. But the writing is just superb. And that's one of those things is if you love good scripts, movie scripts, screenplays.
Like the words.
Yeah, the script is amazing. I mean, one of the most quoted parts of the film is about a conversation about cheeseburgers.
I love cheeseburgers.
I love cheeseburgers, too.
It's my favorite food.
But how much of a conversation do you think can you have with a person?
Don't challenge it, dude. We can sit here and talk about cheeseburgers for hours.
Are we really going to start? No.
Probably not this. We could do another.
We're going to do another podcast just about cheeseburgers.
We guarantee it. From a 30-minute to a 2-hour just talking about burgers.
Yes, I know. But we're not realistic people.
No,
we're not. And that's one of the things about this movie is that the script, if you read it, if you just have a couple of friends reading it out loud, and, you know, even if you try to get into the character's mindset and everything like that, the script doesn't sound like how regular people talk. It sounds very movie-esque, like it is a movie. And I think the reality of the movie...
I like that movie, though. I don't like it sounding like... I mean... Sometimes I do, like, oh, that's something I would say. But then I get embarrassed for the character. Like, I get really absorbed in movies. So, like, when they say something weird, I feel like I just said that to somebody.
Yeah.
So, like, when it sounds like a movie, I'm just totally relaxed. I get like, totally absorbed in the movie. So it sounds, you know.
But, like, in real life, you know, people don't have perfect comedic timing. They don't have, you know, the right retorts to come back to something, you know, real snappy or witty. Dude, how many times has it been where you like, dude, I just thought of it. I know it's like 3 days later, but I know what to say to Dave because, like, he's a jerk.
It's like Friends. Did you ever watch Friends?
Yeah.
When they go, Chandler, you're a great person to have around after something major happens. Because, yeah. Like, 2 days later he thought of it or whatever. That was so great.
The script is great. It doesn't seem super realistic, but it's, in a way, it helps with the storytelling. To not have it super realistic because you're just watching the characters, you're listening to them, and you're hanging on every single word that they say. So it becomes easier to just pretend like the movie, you know, is a movie and it's, you know, you're watching something interesting, entertaining, very thematic, not necessarily like real life, even though, you know, a lot of the scenes and everything, dude, what's more real than people eating in a diner? It's not like an action scene where they're like flying off of buildings That's and so other realistic. Stuff like that. It's a very realistic setting, but the dialogue is not, and the characters in some way are not. Like two gangsters coming in volleyball outfits
you got the stuff.
With guns stuffed down their pants. Like,
in like their short shorts.
Yeah, their short
shorts. The spandex shorts they use for volleyball.
It's totally ridiculous, but they play it off like it's real life, and it works. And what's cool about the dialogue too, especially when you consider the violence, you know, a lot of people, they just focus on the violence, but the violence only happens, in my opinion,
disrespect. That's when it happens.
When the dialogue escalates it to that point, and the violence or some other shocking occurrence becomes absolutely necessary to continue the story. And in a way, it kind of has its own narrative. Every time someone says something, you know, it has the story, the narrative, has a climax, something crazy happens, and then there's the conclusion and whatever happens as a result.
Somebody dies.
And that's like every little snippet of dialogue. That's every little miniature story inside of the whole movie. And that's kind of, I think, what defines this movie more than anything, because the stories themselves aren't necessarily profound. It's, again, a very realistic setting, people eating in a diner. And, you know, something crazy happens, like some two bandits come and rob the place. You know, very crazy, but still not, you know, plausible. Totally could happen. You know, happens every day.
And you quote Pulp Fiction and then they leave.
That could happen. That could happen. That'd be like a total mind freak there. Like, they just like, what?
Those are my lines. Stop. Wait, it.
Stop. Stop. No, dude. Give me your wallet. It's one that says bad mother.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's the one he quoted.
Don't try that at home. Don't try using Pulp Fiction.
And don't swear. It's bad.
Don't swear. You know, the thing with the characters, too, is that, you know what I like about great movie villains? If they're really good, they chew the scenery.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. Mr. Freeze.
Oh, I mean, it's a horrible movie, but gosh darn it, if he doesn't chew the heck out of the scenery and take over, like, when he's on the screen, when a good movie villain is on the screen, you're always watching them.
Are we still talking about Batman, or?
We're just talking about movies in general.
Okay.
When you see a great actor on the screen, you want to watch them doing no matter what they're doing. Like, and that's what I think a lot of the great villains do, because they have these real hammy roles. They have these great bombastic lines. They're like real over the top, you know?
Nicolas Cage.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Vampire's Kiss. Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
A, B, C, D.
Oh, anyway. I haven't seen it.
You gotta watch that.
Okay.
We're doing another Nicolas Cage episode.
List.
Another one. Write it down. Nicolas Cage. Episode 433.
433.
We'll get to it.
We have
it.
That many episodes?
We're gonna get there.
That's nuts. We have like 9 right now.
I know.
7, 8.
Anyway, Pulp Fiction, the characters. The characters help define this film too, because they're really captivating. You want to watch them, and in a way that the characters interact with each other, with the dialogue, each performance, everything they say strikes a chord that when you put it all together creates this very alluring harmony on the screen. You're just so focused on what they're saying that it doesn't matter that these two people are just talking about cheeseburgers or just talking about some guy did at the bank, you know, the other day as they're watching him.
It's a good movie.
It's a great movie. If you can, like, listen to a boring conversation and be like, dude, what's he going to say next? This dude is awesome.
Dude, like, he likes the cheeseburger. Can you believe it?
Yeah. Like, it's almost insane about how well it's written.
Is it a Golden Otsuchi good?
Golden Otsuchi? Abso-freaking-lutely.
Is that going to be our first Golden Otsuchi? It's an old movie. Can we do that?
I don't know.
Should we save it?
Retroactively, yes. It's one of the best movies I've ever seen. I'd give it our top award.
Would you?
For sure.
Should we leave the award ceremony for later, or should we do it now?
Oh, dude. I think, especially since back in 1994 during the Academy Awards, I think this movie totally got snubbed on a Best Picture.
It didn't get it.
It was nominated.
Is it like, who is it, Leonardo DiCaprio, that everybody else just keeps barely overshadowing him, so he's never got an Academy Award?
That dude is so snake-bitten. I mean, he's like, he puts out a performance of a lifetime, like the Departed, Wolf of Wall Street.
It's one of those things where, like, he made really, really good stuff, and then somebody else just barely better.
Barely better.
Just a little bit. So, just I mean, a little bit. Like, regardless of consistent, really great performance, like, somebody every year just does a little bit better that one year, so they get the award.
And especially this year, like, you know who won it for Best Actor this year?
No, I don't.
Matthew McConaughey.
Really?
Yeah, he did.
Did they like his nose?
No. He did a really good performance in Dallas Buyers Club, but what I got to say to that is Matthew McConaughey, he's had somewhat of a renaissance of his acting career. He's done some really good films of late.
I like him in some of his stuff, and there's other things I just don't care for.
Yeah, but I think his last few films that he's done have been very dramatic roles, and he's kind of reinvented himself in that way.
What was his most recent one?
Dallas Buyers Club, he was in Mud. He was also in The Lincoln Lawyer.
Oh, I saw Lincoln Lawyer. That was good.
I mean, like, you know, real good dramatic roles that I think...
I didn't see those other two, but...
in a way that, especially when you think of Matthew McConaughey, like,
you think of like, silly...
You know, rom-com, yeah. That kind yeah. of dude. Like, he's all fun-loving and everything like that.
And like a kind of a life screw-up kind of guy. Like, yeah. just never did anything.
Yeah.
What is it? Failure to Launch? That one?
There's
that's
that
kind
too.
Of like his, like, main persona. That's,
for a long time, that was his calling card. And then he reinvented himself in these last couple of years. He worked his butt off. He deserves that Best Picture
really
award.
Well. Yeah.
But wait,
which one did he get Best Picture for?
Dallas Buyers Club.
Okay. I need to watch it then.
But when you look at Leonardo DiCaprio's career... it's been very consistent.
He's very consistent.
He's never like, you know, he was kind of cheesy in Titanic, some other stuff, Man in the Iron Mask. He's done some
like
other stupid things.
Stuff,
but dude, like when he was a kid, What's Eating Gilbert's Grape? Have you ever seen that?
I've definitely heard the name.
Oh, dude, great movie. His entire career as like a kid actor to today, dude has been amazing. He's like probably one of the best actors to have never won the Academy Award.
He was a child actor?
Oh, yeah.
Like child actor?
Child actor.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Real little kid.
Okay.
I think he did some Disney stuff.
I've probably seen the stuff and never realized it was him.
He did some commercials, stuff like that.
He did really well in that commercial. He was so serious.
Best picture.
Best, you know, Doritos like, commercial ever.
No. I think it was like Matchbox or Hot Wheels.
Really?
Like,
oh, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, I probably know. I've probably seen it then. When I was a kid, I was all over Hot Wheels. My dad still gives me Hot Wheels.
Nickelodeon. He was on some Nickelodeon shows or something like that.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I don't think I'd go rewatch my childhood, see how many times he shows up.
But yeah, dude, like Leonardo DiCaprio, totally. The dude's like going to have to like, the Academy's at some point just like, we're going to just have to give you a Lifetime Achievement Award because... you're really good.
What's
you've
that?
Just never been like the best that year.
I don't know. Yeah, God forbid they got a consistency award. What was that award they gave Britney Spears? The Michael Van God Award? That one? Is that what it's called?
What?
You never heard of it? It
no.
was like the pinnacle of music awards that they were trying to do. I've only heard of them ever giving out one. It was to Britney Spears.
To Britney Spears?
Yeah.
Why does she deserve an award like that?
I don't know. Music, dude. She was really good in early years.
I guess.
I don't know, but they should give one of those in for acting to DiCaprio.
Maybe for like the most awesome video of like
awesome.
Half naked woman. Toxic.
Okay. Okay, sorry. I was thinking Leonardo DiCaprio, so I was like, are you talking about Titanic or
what?
No, never mind.
They said Britney Spears.
Britney Spears did originally. Yeah, she got the Michael Van Gogh award. I thought that was a really terrible name for it because Michael Jackson had just died. So they were putting out an award in his honor. And you know, I don't like Michael Jackson, but it's an award.
You don't?
I don't like him as a person.
Oh, well, neither do I. It's music. Music is awesome.
Yeah.
But
that affects me. That affects me in my, like, fanism of them.
Oh, definitely for sure. Like, I'd find it hard to ever go to a Michael Jackson concert if he was still alive.
I would never go.
I would never.
I can't support him.
Someone would have to buy me tickets.
Even then.
Yeah. I mean, if someone bought me tickets and it was like in Vegas.
I mean, I don't want to get too dark, but the guy was a criminal.
He was a smooth criminal, though.
Oh, my God.
Annie, are you okay?
My name's not Annie. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, we're really going off track. What time is it? How long have we... Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh.
Like
we've been
minutes.
Talking for way too long.
It's supposed to be a 30-minute.
We're going to have to cut it off for today, folks. Don't forget about our upcoming shows. We got, let's see, the comic book one that I was telling you about. We're going to be talking about Captain America, the Winter Soldier, The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Really can't wait for that one.
I need to see the first one.
Dude, you got to see that one. A lot of people say it's kind of hokey, and you know they really like the first one with Tobey Maguire. But
because I was really kind of taken back when I was like, okay, Spider-Man 1, 2, 3. And then they were
the
like,
Spider-Man.
The Amazing Spider-Man. Like, okay, I guess. I mean, I like, who's the girl that's in it?
Emma Stone?
Is it Emma Stone?
It's Emma Stone.
I love Emma Stone so much. I remember liking who it was. I couldn't remember who it was. I might have seen it. It might have just been a while ago. I need to rewatch it.
That's well, if you guys haven't seen it, definitely see the first one before you see this next one coming out. I really can't wait because they're going to have crazy villains all over the place. Electro, the Rhino, even talks about the Green Goblin showing up in there.
That's future. That's future stuff. We'll talk about it.
We'll talk about we'll it for sure. But excited for that one for sure. And then I think the Tour de Force, the Guardians of the Galaxy, that's coming out in August.
That's right.
And we're going to be doing a podcast on all three of those. And if you don't know about any of those movies at all or what the heck we're talking about, listen to that. We'll talk about that more in detail. And I think especially next 2 weeks or so, maybe next week, I think we're going to do one on some of the spring movies coming out, kind of the pre-show to the summer movies. We're going to do things, I think, Divergent, maybe talk about Noah, some other like big-name movies, epics.
I really hope Divergent's horrible. I really want to laugh.
I really do, too, because this premise just sounds hokey.
It looks dumb. Yeah, it looks... We'll get there. We'll get there. I'm sorry.
We'll get there again. But those are some of the podcasts we've got coming up. We also, I think we got a special guest coming in. Permanent guest?
Special permanent guest?
Special permanent guest on a temporary basis. Tommy Coleman is probably going to be joining us.
He'll be joining us for a lot. For a lot of stuff. I don't know about stuff. All of it, but...
He'll be there in and out. He's kind of Film Ninja in training, if you will.
Sure.
Sure. We'll go with that. Yeah, but he'll be joining us on some future podcasts, so listen out for that.
And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And how many Twitter followers do we even have?
We got about 67 or so.
Do we? Are they like people or like companies?
There's a handful of both.
It's like, okay. Well, you know, follow us. I mean, we like to know who's out, you know, who's out there listening to us and who our fans are. And don't forget to drop us a line on our website. You can let us know what movies you think we should be talking about if we're missing something, because I know we haven't seen everything out there, but... if you want us to talk about a movie or watch a movie, do a commentary, let us know. Drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you guys.
All right. That'll do it for today, guys. See you later.
You've been listening to the Film Ninjas Podcast.